May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 324. Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide. The scripture assures us, the Lord will provide. Hymn 324.
Oh, read together from the Holy Word of God, reading from the book of Judges, chapter 6. The book of Judges, reading chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of a house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valour. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of a staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night, that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbabel, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered unto him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and to Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with a fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Amen. May the Lord grant his blessing upon his word and help and teach us now to pray. Dear Lord, we would bow before thee now, to approach thy holy majesty, that we might draw nigh unto God, to worship thee here this night, on this weeknight occasion, as we turn in from the busy scenes of life, and all of those things we have been involved in this day. Yet, Lord, through thy great mercy, that we have been spared and preserved and enabled to come once more into thine earthly courts here. Come, Holy Spirit, calm my mind, and fit me to approach my God. Remove each vain, each worldly thought, lead me to thy blessed abode. O Lord, as we gather here, be pleased to gather with us. Make one in the midst, and may thy sacred, special presence be known and felt, that it might be noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. The Lord is here. O Lord, do come. Lord, we are but a company of sinners, not worthy of the very least of thy mercies, not worthy of any favour, not worthy of any good. But Lord, we do not come to thee on the grounds of our worth, but on the grounds of thy mercy. And all to plead that blood that does for sin atone. Lord, remember us for Jesus' sake. O Lord, who have much compassion upon us, as we gather together in thy name, O to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. And may Christ be first, and may Christ be last, and may Christ be all in all. Oh, come and make the place of thy feet glorious, and come and give our souls a treat this night by the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, who shall take a vine and oh, show it unto us, the word of God. Grant that divine application. Oh, may the gospel come not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. May there be that wrought of God. And Lord, let thy work appear. Oh, glorify thy name this night. And Lord, remember us, we pray. Move upon the face of the waters. For Lord, thou knowest how we have come, how we have made our way here, and if we have come in need, or if we have come burdened, if we have come exercised, if we have come troubled, if we have come tried, if we have come hungering and thirsting after righteousness, if we have come with a spiritual appetite, if we have come seeking Jesus, or if we have come unconcerned, indifferently, carelessly, prayerlessly, if we have come merely out of custom, expectation, oh Lord, where there may be souls yet dead in trespasses and in sins, have mercy, awaken, quicken, call by thy grace. Lord, if there are those satisfied with a form of religion, a lamp of profession, a name to live, oh, do have mercy and show them themselves. And Lord, strip them of all their own self-righteousness. Oh, teach them their need of Christ to save them from all of their sins. And Lord, where there are those awakened and quickened and brought into concern over their never-dying souls and a never-ending eternity, oh, who would flee from the wrath to come, but flee to that city of refuge, even Jesus, who longed to find him, to know him, to be found in him, accepted in him, complete in him, saved in him. Oh, Lord, remember those who long for a blessing this night, a word in season, that food convenient for their never-dying souls. Oh, a blessing indeed. Lord, remember such. Remember any improvidential need, any who are struggling, those who are tempted. Lord, those who may have those various infirmities and distresses and sorrows and griefs and difficulties and problems. Oh, help them to cast all their care upon thee. And oh, to prove he careth for you. We pray for those unable to be here tonight. Lord, and thou knowest that line of distinction between those who would be here if they could and those who could have been here if they would. O Lord, remember each, have mercy upon those of no concern, and bless those, Lord, who remember us at this time. Remember this cause of truth, be with them here, bless them here, and may they yet prove that thy Spirit remaineth, and all do great things for them, whereof they shall be glad. Help one at the desk in his responsibilities, and to help and strengthen, encourage him, and grant much grace. Bless the church and each member of the congregation. Remember others who may have turned in this night. O Lord, do remember Zion. O do remember thy people. And Lord, at this time, and literally at this time, thoughts go to the cause of truth in Zion, Grand Rapids, as they gather together there for the funeral of their late pastor, Mr. Stayhower. Lord, we feel that sweet assurance that it was well with him, that he is now with Christ, oh, no longer in that afflicted body, oh, no longer suffering by Satan's sin, the flesh and the world, but now with Christ in that holy, happy place. But Lord, remember those who mourn. And Lord, we know that they are in mourning and grief and sorrow at such a great loss. Comfort their hearts. Sanctify this loss. Draw near to them. And oh Lord, how they long to prove our opening hymn, "The Lord Will Provide." Do remember one conducting the service and do strengthen and uphold and help him through. So we commit and commend them unto thee. Oh Lord, do remember Zion in that great need. Oh, if it would please thee yet to raise up, equip and thrust forth others into the gospel ministry, we would be thankful where it has been so of late. But may there yet be others, Lord. Oh, how shall they hear it without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Oh, Lord, do remember Zion in this. Oh, shine upon the churches, lest they die. Lord, we bring before thee our land and nation, oh, ripe for judgment. As a nation we have turned from thee, as a nation we have forsaken thee, as a nation we have turned to the false gods of the heathen. Oh, Lord, we marvel at thy forbearance and long-suffering, and yet we tremble. All the future so wisely hidden from our eyes. Lord, we beg mercy. Have mercy upon us. Spare us yet. Oh, Lord, preserve unto us our religious liberties, our freedom of worship, our Protestant constitution. All of these things the enemies would take from us. Oh, like the Midianites and the others in the land of Israel who came up to destroy it. And so the enemies of the truth come up to destroy. The thief cometh not but for to kill and to destroy. O Lord, who have mercy and spare us yet. And grant, O Lord, that turning again unto thee. We would be thankful for every blessing and every favour, much of which we take for granted. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, surrounded by thy mercies and bestowed with thy blessings. Oh, grant us truly thankful hearts to praise God, from whom all these blessings flow. Now help us through this service. Lord, be unto us all that we need. Command thy blessing, prosper thy word, glorify thy name. Pardon and forgive our every sin, as we would ask all in that worthy, precious, and all-prevailing name of Jesus. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 1144. Saviour, visit thy plantation. Grant us, Lord, a gracious rain. All will come to desolation unless they'll return again. Keep no longer at a distance. Shine upon us from on high, lest for want of thine assistance every plant should droop and die. Hymn 1144.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, and the opening clause in verse 17. Show me a token for good. Psalm 86, and the opening clause of verse 17. Show me a token for good. The dear psalmist wanted to be made sure. And he wanted to see the hand of the Lord. He wanted to hear the voice of the Lord. He wanted to know the Lord was with him. All the Lord was his God. Oh, look what precedes it from verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good. Real religion is very personal. It is between our souls and Almighty God. We used to hear it said, you will not get to heaven in a crowd. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear? Is Jesus Christ thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Now, the Lord, he works in the hearts of his people. And by working in their hearts by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth within, he calls them by his grace, makes them willing in the day of his power, but also he humbles them under his mighty hand. And perhaps one of the greatest ways the Lord humbles his people under his mighty hand is when he convicts them of their sins. Oh, dear soul, do you know what it is to be convicted of your sins? True conviction. There will be godly sorrow. Sorrow after a godly sort. And that godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Now, where there is that true conviction of sin, all that soul will know what it is in measure to be a guilty sinner before an holy God. Yes, of course, anyone can say that they are sinners. Very easy to say that we are sinners. But as Joseph Hart put it, oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. All that which is felt, that which is known, so painful, so distressing, so agonizing. All to stand as a guilty sinner before an holy God. And the consequences of being a sinner, the wages of sin, is death. Now, we live in a generation, a society which speaks so glibly concerning Almighty God, as if he is but as a man. But oh, how the Lord will so teach his people something of his holiness, of his majesty, of his greatness. Oh, how we but creatures of his creation, but mere worms of his earth, finite. And God is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. and her soul trembles before God, fears before God, and that soul convicted of their sins, oh, how they tremble at the consequences of their sins. Eternal damnation, eternal hell, where neither hope nor mercy can ever, ever come. God is so holy, he cannot look upon any sin with the slightest degree of allowance or toleration. If I can use that phrase, there's no winking of the eye. There's no turning aside. But divine justice must be exacted upon the sinner. Oh, the holiness of God. Yes, a sin-hating and a sin-punishing God. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Oh, what a death. What a death. But in love and mercy, the Lord awakens his people. And as all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, so they shall be taught the truth. God will ever teach the truth. The Bible we have before us is the word of God. It's a word of truth. It's God's word. And everything that God speaks is the truth. And Satan is a liar from the very beginning. How he caused Adam and Eve to sin by that temptation. And he lied. You shall not die. But as soon as they took of that fruit, spiritually they died and proved Satan to be a liar and God to speak the truth. Now the Lord will teach his people the truth, and how vital that we have taught the truth that we are sinners. Oh, what a solemn truth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. In our flesh there dwelleth no good thing. How the hymn writer also penned, all unholy and unclean, I am nothing else but sin, a mass of sin. Oh, there's nothing good, there's nothing holy, there's nothing righteous, there's nothing acceptable unto God, but the heart, deceitful above all things, and so desperately wicked, and so desperately corrupt, and so desperately wicked in all its faults. But by the Holy Spirit, the child of God, all being convicted of his sins, will begin to confess his sins unto God. Oh, there will be that confession. Where? At the throne of grace. At the mercy seat. Oh, where the Lord will bring his people to confess their sins unto him. And it won't be mere lip confession, but true confession out of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And as that soul is pleading confession unto God of their sins, so they're taught to plead for mercy, because God is merciful. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Before such an holy and heart-searching God, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And I believe every soul praying for God's mercy is hoping in God's mercy, hoping that God would be merciful unto them, And that prayer of a publican becomes their prayer, not in vain repetition, not, as it were, just copying the language, but being wrung out of their hearts in that same great felt need, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, has the Lord taught us to pray that prayer, where we come before God, pleading for mercy, hoping in his mercy, longing that God would be merciful unto us, and to save us from all of our sins for his mercy's sake. And how the Holy Spirit leads that soul unto Christ, the Saviour of sinners. And the Holy Spirit, he works in the hearts of every child of God. And by he will lead them to Christ, in that felt need of the Lord Jesus to be their Saviour. Always the Lord working in your heart. Are you also being led to Christ as the one thing needful? The one thing needful. Or do you feel that need of Christ to save you from all of your sins? That he is able to save. Oh, how precious are those words in Hebrews 7. Able to save unto the uttermost all who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And though these words were spoken in such scorn and hatred, but a different meaning have. This man receiveth sinners. This man who is the same yesterday and today and forever still receiveth sinners. Who came not to call the righteous but sinners unto repentance. Who also said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That coming to Christ is by faith. That coming to Christ is that believing in him, or believing him to be the Saviour of sinners, or believing in the person of Christ, who lived that holy life here upon this earth, wherein he fulfilled the law of God and wrought out that robe of righteousness, but laid down his life, as he shed his own heart's precious blood to make atonement for sin. For without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin, but the Lord Jesus, to redeem his people, with his own heart's precious blood, so lay down his life and offered up himself, to be that substitute, to make that atonement for sin, to bear the punishment instead, that punishment due unto every child of God for every sin that they have committed was laid upon Christ. What he bore, what he suffered, what he went through, we cannot begin to imagine, but all to believe. And all to know that our sins were laid upon him. My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my crime. That he rose again the third day, ascended up on high, and is now at the right hand of the Father in heaven above, the captain of our salvation, made perfect through sufferings. Now these souls taught by the Holy Spirit are taught to flee to Christ, to look to him, to trust in him, to believe in him. But all they long to be made sure. Show me a token for good. A token that my religion is real. That I am born of God. That I have found grace in thy sight. Show me a token for good. That I am thine, saved with an everlasting salvation, loved with an everlasting love, all called by thy irresistible grace. But show me a token for good, a sweet confirmation. We have it in the Song of Solomon when the bride could say at one time, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Oh, what sweet assurance. Oh, to be enabled to truly say and feel that my beloved is mine, and I am his. Oh, with the Shulamite, is it well? Is it well with thy soul, thy never-dying soul? Is it well when called to die? Wonderful blessing if we can truly feel it is well. It is well. And yet we have Satan, the tempter, the accuser of the brethren. All we have a self is old man of sin. Many, many doubts and fears that besetting sin of unbelief. So many misgivings. Oh, so many distresses. Am I made a real Christian? Am I made a real Christian? Show me a token for good. The Lord Jesus also taught, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be found therein. Because wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth unto death. And many are found therein. Or would we be found in that narrow way? That way which alone can be walked by faith and not by sight. That narrow way which at times becomes so narrow, so pressed, perhaps so crooked, so difficult. But the right way. I've been impressed for a long time with those words in Psalm 107. It concerns the redeemed of the Lord. He led them forth by the right way. And if your and my religion is real of the Holy Ghost, then we also will be led by the right way. To be led is to follow. And in that sense, it is to obey. And it is to trust in the guide. The one going before, to lead forth by the right way. And as it may have been with the sheep, literally in biblical times, as the shepherd led them forth to fresh pastures, the track may have been quite narrow. It may have been a dark valley. It may have been very crooked. There may have been dangers all around. There may have been the other wild beasts and various things. Many fears concerning the sheep, but there was the shepherd going before, leading them forth by the right way. And I believe where there is grace in the heart, the fear of the Lord, there is that desire to be led. To be led by God. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. For I am weak, thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. And he led them forth by the right way. And that concerned the children of Israel, whom the Lord brought forth out of Egypt, and would lead forth unto the promised land of Canaan. And the Lord led them about. He led them. But oh, we think of Psalm 106, I think it is, and the children of Israel so often murmuring, complaining by the hardness of the way. Oh, so often full of doubts and fears. So often wondering at things which befell them, things they were called to pass through, called to endure. And how often they question God, as if to say, is this the right way? Is this the right way? At times would even turn back, even to Egypt. Oh, so you see, the path of a child of God in this narrow way is to be walked by faith. And not by sight. And oh, what faith we need in the way the Lord may lead us. Show me a token for good that I'm in the narrow way. All that I'm in that right way. There is also that great fear of being deceived, of being a deceiver, and of deceiving others. And this is a real fear to many a child of God. Lord, if I am deceived, undeceive me. Oh, teach me the truth. But all this confirmation that I am in the right way, show me a token for good. My mind goes to the Passover night. And really the children of Israel were given a token there. They were instructed by God, to whom they obeyed, that night the angel of death would pass over the whole land of Egypt, including Goshen, where the children of Israel resided. But the Lord would spare his people. But in a way the Lord would show them and teach them. And amongst other things, their lamb must be taken and slain, and its blood put in a basin and applied with hyssop upon the doorpost and the door lintel, the one entrance into the home. The children of Israel, in humble obedience, would be found within that home, sheltering under the blood. Now, in that literal sense, of course, they applied it, but in that literal sense, within the home, they couldn't see the blood. But it was there, it had been applied. They saw it by faith, but the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, there will be no death. Now, what a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus and his precious blood. And does not the Lord teach and instruct his people by faith to shelter under the blood? Or see it this way. Is this the language of your heart, your felt need? Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. I do believe that every child of God also will be brought to the feet of Jesus. You read in the gospel accounts how many there were who fell at the feet of Jesus in their felt need of him. And being brought to the feet of Jesus, are we not brought also to the cross of Christ? Oh, to shelter under him there, to shelter in his wounded side, oh, to shelter under his shadow, oh, to shelter under his blood. Show me a token for good, a token for good. Oh, it is by faith, looking unto Jesus. Again, my mind just goes to the children of Israel, and I'll just be brief concerning the brazen serpent. And there they were through their disobedience and sin, the punishment, dying by those serpents. And yet the word of the Lord in his great compassion and loving kindness concerning that brazen serpent, if they would look, they would live. And life attended every look. And Jesus says, look unto me. Look unto me, poor, needy, guilty, troubled sinner. Oh, show me a token for good. And he says, look unto me, the Saviour, the Redeemer. Oh, look by faith. Oh, may the Lord help burdened souls to look and thus to live. Show me a token for good. Oh, that sweet confirmation that I am thine. A real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood. Show me a token for good. Well, it may be tonight spiritual, concerning your never-dying soul in a never-ending eternity. Or you long for those divine realities. You long to know Christ formed in your heart, the hope of glory. Oh, you long for that spirit of adoption whereby ye may cry, Abba Father, my Father. Again, we may hear it in other circles, religious Christian circles, how people can so easily say, my Father, Heavenly Father. I'd rather feel many a troubled, needy soul joins in with and still, my God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a favour so divine. Show me a token for good. There was one some years ago now who had such an unexpected blessing, being burdened with that very thing, all to being able to say, my Heavenly Father. Feeling that special burden, and that morning turning to read the portion which happened to be in the book of Proverbs. And the soul felt disappointed. Oh, there can't be anything in the book of Proverbs to grant to me that spirit of adoption. Oh, there's much teaching and instruction there concerning various things of our lives, but surely nothing there. Turn to the chapter, the opening words, my son, applied by the Holy Spirit. My son, oh, if a son, then it must be my Father. Show me a token for good. Just coming back to those words, he led them forth by the right way. There were times of the children of Israel as they watched the cloudy pillar by day, cloudy pillar by night, that which they were to follow. At times it stood still, indicating that they must abide there of that place for a time. Then at times it moved. And whensoever and whithersoever it moved, they were to follow. They were to go. Following in faith, he led them forth by the right way. So it is with the people of God. Times when we must abide. Times when we must move. A step to be taken in faith, in dependence upon God. Looking to him, seeing his hand, hearing his voice, and in humble obedience to follow him. It is the Lord. It is the Lord leading us forth by the right way. I just think of that prayer of Moses at a time of great crisis. And oh, how the Lord has said he will send an angel before them. Oh, no, Moses must have the presence of God to go before them. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Lord, without thee, I cannot take this step, I cannot do this thing. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee peace. Show me a token for good. Now, at times when that soul must take such a step, there are many, many fears. Oh, to be assured of this, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. That fear to take one step before him, to go before the Lord. That great fear, lest it's of the flesh, of the natural man, of our own carnal minds, of our own volitions or doings. And yet that great fear of being disobedient. Now, I felt led to that chapter concerning Gideon, whom the Lord would raise up, whom the Lord would use. And at that time, the children of Israel, because of their sins, were being distressed by the Midianites as well as the Amalekites and the children of the east who came up against them seeking to destroy them. But the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and the Lord would deliver them, and the Lord would use Gideon. Well, Gideon greatly stumbled and struggled at this. Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. But dear Gideon, seeing that great thing before him, and remember we read of the Midianites were innumerable. It was the grasshoppers, this vast people which came up against them. And the children of Israel impoverished, and Gideon feeling to be so small, so inadequate, so insufficient. Oh, he was full of fear. Show me a token for good. So we read towards the end concerning the fleece, and how he longed to be absolutely sure that the Lord would be with him in this step that he must take. And often it's been said concerning the fleece of wool. And two miracles really were performed. Now the first, how he desired, as he put the fleece on the floor, that if a dew be on the fleece only, that is, if a fleece overnight become very wet, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then I shall know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. God hearkened unto Gideon. God performed this miracle unto him. And before his own eyes he could see the fleece was full of water, a bowl full of water. And yet on all the ground, all around, it was absolutely dry. The Lord's hand to be seen. But even then, oh, Gideon trembled. There was still that doubt, there was still that fear. And tremblingly, he besought the Lord, let not thine anger be hot against me, because I ask thee the second time. Because I need, as it were, another confirmation, another token for good. Lord, I'm so fearful of this thing which is before me. Oh, I fear myself. I fear lest it just happened. I want to be absolutely sure that the matter proceeded from the Lord. Let me prove, I pray, be this once with a fleece. And the opposite way round. Let it now be dry upon the fleece. And upon the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. And perhaps a heavy dew. And yet picking up that fleece of wool, there it was perfectly dry. So Gideon could be absolutely sure that the Lord would be with him as he had said. Now, I have heard it said regarding taking a step or doing something of having the fleece wet and dry many, many times. And it troubled me. Gideon had this great thing before him, and he felt so insufficient, so inadequate, so full of fear. He just wanted to be sure that the Lord was in it. Again, coming back to those words in Genesis 24, that the matter proceeded from the Lord, that in humble obedience he might venture. Again, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Cannot take such a step. Now, if we would boast of having the fleece wet and dry many, many times, then I would suggest that we're being disobedient many, many times. And the other thing I'm greatly fearing, hearing this said, it almost sounds like we're dictating to the Lord what should happen. Time and time and time again, wanting confirmation, confirmation, when the Lord has already said. Gideon had it but twice. Not many, many times. Just twice. And if we were to continue reading into the following chapter, 32,000 men came up of the children of Israel to be with Gideon, but the Lord saw that they were too many. And not once, but twice, Gideon must be tried. And that number must be reduced. Right down to 300. Can you imagine it? From 32,000 down to 300. But still he could go back to the Lord, and thou hast said. He'd had that fleece wet and dry twice. The Lord would be with him to save Israel, as thou hast said. But now with only 300 men to prove it was of the Lord. Now let us be very, very careful concerning this fleece. Very careful that we're not dictating to the Lord what to do. Remember, we are the servants, he is a master. And yet it may be that we long for that confirmation. Show me a token for good. Oh, to be made sure. But then my mind just seems to go to this also. Sometimes in our lives, regarding certain things, events are taken out of our hands. And we have changes in our lives, changes perhaps we would not, and things that we're forced into doing. And then that great fear of going that way, all to know the Lord is in it. Rather like, thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is a way, walk ye in it. All to know that the Lord is with us. I always remember a journey I had some years ago now, going to a chapel one Lord's Day morning in the countryside, and there were various routes one could take. And I was driving along this road, and I was becoming troubled that I'd gone too far. And coming into a village, I saw a turning on the left, and I thought that was right to turn left there, to go down that way. And driving down this lane, it's a wide lane, two cars could easily pass. I seemed to go on, and I wasn't sure if I was going the right way or not. Just making it a matter of prayer, I was longing for a confirmation, really, that the way I was going was the right way, knowing that if it was not, I'd have to turn round and go all the way back. And of course, the further I went, and I feared that if it was wrong, the further I'd have to go back. Eventually, we came to a small crossroads, and there was a signpost, and although it didn't show me the village I was actually going to, it showed me another village which I knew was very close to it. But really, it was a confirmation that the way I was in was the right way. And I felt there, oh, what a lesson. Show me a token for good. And so it may be that a step one or another has here before them, or is in, or has been forced into. You want to know it is of the Lord. It is a most solemn thing to grieve the Holy Spirit, to cause the Lord to withdraw his favour, to hide his face. When the Lord is grieved with his people, because they are so stubborn or determined to have their own way, to do their own thing, and not to follow and not to trust in him. Oh, may the Lord ever keep us from grieving the Holy Spirit. But oh, may the Lord grant us that humble obedience. Or it may be resignation. It may be submission to the Lord's will. Show me a token for good. Oh, how Moses also was blessed with his token for good when the Lord said unto him, certainly I will be with thee. Without any shadow of a doubt, I will be with thee. And you think what Moses had to pass through? And especially early when he went back to Egypt and went before Pharaoh. And you remember how Pharaoh rejected him and increased the task upon the children of Israel. And now the children of Israel turn against Moses. The Egyptians had turned against him. The children of Israel had turned against him. What could Moses do but to turn back to the Lord? Lord, thou hast said. Thou hast said, we could return unto the Lord. Show me a token for good. And the Lord did. Now thou shalt see what I will do unto Pharaoh to bring forth my people Israel. Show me a token for good. Ah, whether it's spiritual or providential, do we not long to know this? If God be for us, who can be against us? Or if the Lord is on our side, I will not fear what man shall do or say unto me. But show me a token for good. Oh, show to me, Lord, that I am thine, that my religion is real. Do show to me that confirmation that I am in the narrow way, which leadeth unto life. However hard, however dark, however trying, however distressing at times. Remember, Christian in Pilgrim's Progress must pass through both the valley of the shadow of death as well as the valley of humiliation. And times when he was in great fear. Oh, show me a token for good. I'll just end thinking of John Baptist, in a prison, literally in a prison, in darkness, in bondage, in chains, in captivity, in distress, in darkness of soul. And he sent some of his disciples unto Jesus with that question, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And on that very time, the Lord Jesus had been performing many, many miracles. Go and tell John again of those things which thou hast seen. And blessed is he that is not offended in me. Now the Lord's people at times come into great darkness and great fear. Oh, many questions, many misgivings. Oh, that besetting sin of unbelief. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? But show me a token for good. All those sweet confirmations by the way that we are in that right way. Did Jesus once upon me shine? Then Jesus is forever mine. Yes, he led them forth by the right way that they might go unto a city of habitation with them numbered. Oh, may I be now and in eternity, show me a token for good.
God willing, Mr. Burgess will preach on the Lord's Day and Mr. Gilbert Hyde on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 736. Show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. Hymn 736.
And now, may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.